You know, we always have pre-service prayer, and we meet in the children's church room, and anybody's welcome to be here. We usually start around 9:15. If you want to come, you're welcome to be a part of it. But usually around 9:15, and we just pray before the service for about 20, 25. We worship, and then we pray together before the service. And it was so amazing because, like, I said a few things, but other than that, it was just this, like, it was just so still in there. And it's, and then even here, after worship, still. And so just so you know, my message is be still and know that I'm God. But it's so funny how that'll happen so many times. Like I'll have, you know, the Lord will have given me the message for the day, and then something will happen in pre-service prayer that'll kind of just confirm that that's the message he has for the day. So it was something that we were just still. So I just really, when I was thinking about, you know, the Lord about what to talk about today, what to teach about today, and this is something that we've talked about, you know, many times in this church. You know, I feel like that song Defender is like our church theme song with Beautiful Jesus is right there with it. But those two are just so powerful. And I know we've talked a lot about it, but I just really felt like the Lord wanted to prepare our hearts for this coming weekend. Like he really, like it's really about all of us getting on the same page about what he wants to do next weekend when Eric Gilmore is here. Almost everybody is coming. I mean, I understand some people can't come because of obligations on Saturday, but if there's any way you can come, I would really encourage you to be here on Saturday for this this class. Where's my thing? My clicker. So I just felt like the Lord wanted to just talk about what does it mean to be still? You know, what is it, you know, what does it mean to be still? What does that look like? And what is he calling us to? What is he calling us to? So I'm going to be, oh, I did it. Okay, so that we're going to start with Psalm 46:10. It says in the Psalm, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." In the Passion Translation, I don't have it up there, but it says, "Surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God." It's funny that this word "be still," when I read the definition, I actually started laughing because it says to be still. It means to be feeble, fail, weaken, idle, slack, faint, cease, be still, and be slothful. So where have you ever heard God command you to be slothful? That's pretty amazing. I just got this picture of us in our daily lives, like our day-to-day, you know, you still have to chop wood and get water, right? But you also, I even see it in our spiritual lives, how we strive so hard. You know, we're working, going at a million miles an hour. Even in our lives wanting to pursue God, right? We're all passionate and we want to know him and we're just like so diligent and everything. And he's just like, would you just be slothful for a minute? You know, just wanting us to just sit, be still, stop all the activity. Stop all the motion. Stop everything we're striving for. Be still. Be still and know. That word know is, it means God is to have, to know God is to have an intimate, experiential knowledge of him. An intimate, experiential knowledge of him. It's the same word used when Adam and Eve came together to conceive a child. You know, so many people, I know we do not live off of feelings, and we can't pursue feelings, right? Because feelings can be deceptive. But we were born to experience God. That is our birthright. And I know people try to say, oh, well, yeah, I understand. You don't pursue that. But as a byproduct of our relationship with him, we can have an intimate, experiential relationship with him. This is what he wants us to have. And he doesn't want us to wait till heaven to have that. He wants us to have that now. right? So he says, so he's saying, be still, stop, cease all the activity, and come to a place where you have an experiential, intimate knowledge of God. And that word God there is Elohim, right? What Elohim means, like it's multiple, so it would be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's a different, like there's God came, as time went on, he became like God the provider, God the banner, God the redeemer, God all these other ways, right? But Elohim is the God that was in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 that created everything. That's Elohim. And so he's saying, even, you know, it's going beyond even knowing him as your provider or as your healer or all these other things. Those are all great, but he wants us to come back even before that. To just know he's the God that breathed everything into existence. He's the God that created us. But before we had to even know him as a provider, right? He was Elohim because he is the provision. He is the health. He is all of that. He is that. And so he wants us to come back to that place where we be still and just come to this place where we can intimately know him as our God. You know, stillness is something that is not known or taught in our culture. We have so much technology, and we have so many distractions that even you know religious distractions that vie for our attention, and it just they're pulling at us and pulling at us in every single way. And the enemy doesn't really care what your distraction is. It can even be a religious distraction. As long as we're not being still and focusing on him. And so even YouTube's great, but you can be addicted to YouTube. You know what I'm saying? All these things that we can do to try to, and these are things I know I've talked about before, but I just really felt like the Lord wanted us to really set our faces like flint for what's going to happen next weekend. Okay? So these are things we've talked about before, but we can get distracted. You can do all these religious rituals and miss him. Miss him. And it's all, you know, it's all looks like it's good stuff. But there comes a time when you can't live off of somebody else's revelation. Their revelation is to lead each one of us into our own personal relationship with God. That's each one of our responsibility. It's each one of our responsibilities. And so we need to recognize that the enemy is stealing from us. By keeping us distracted, by keeping us so outwardly focused, he's stealing from us. He's stealing our birthright from us. Our birthright is to live in the presence of God. You know, I had shared in Columbia, I think I've shared it here before, about Brother Lawrence, who said that, you know, he so knew the presence of God in prayer, but yet when he went to work in the kitchen at the monastery he was at, where there was lots of activity and it was hectic, he had the same peace that he had in his prayer room as he did when he was in the kitchen. Because the presence of God was so real to him, and he had so anchored himself in that reality that everywhere he went, no matter what the outside distractions were, he was able to focus on God's presence. That's every one of ours birthright. That's normal. That's what normal should look like. Let's go to, I've got the clicker. So let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, turning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not." In the Passion Translation, it says, "Lord Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, says, come back to me. By returning and resting in me, you will be saved. In quiet and trust, you will be made strong. But you refused." This returning is coming back or turning back. And so to be saved means to be delivered and free. And so what I saw in this is it's in returning to the garden. It's in returning to Elohim. It's in returning to who created us and that intimate relationship that we were designed for, and resting in that, That's where our salvation is. That's where our fullness is. That's where our peace is. It's returning back to, like I said, the relationship that was our birthright, the relationship that every one of us was created for. You know, I thought about Adam and Eve walking in the garden, right? And so they have this knowledge of what God is like, and they have this intimate relationship with Him. They have this wonderful relationship with each other. They're naked. They're unashamed. They're so in the spirit that the physical bodies don't dominate them. And so they have this beautiful relationship, right? And then they eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, when God confronts Eve, she says, "I was deceived," right? So she knows that Satan deceived her. And I talked about how, you know, the problem is we don't even know we're deceived. We live in carnality, a carnal mindset so much that we don't even know that's deception, that what she had is the reality. That's the truth. But I started thinking about that, and just think about, first of all, talk about the weight on you of knowing what it was like to live there. And you ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now all the generations to come aren't going to know what you knew? Wow. Thank God for grace. But, like, I'm sure Adam and Eve, they lived hundreds and hundreds of years, right? And I'm sure they told their children what it was like to walk in the garden. And they what it was like to talk to God, and what it was like to live in the Spirit, right? They shared that with Him. But then generation after generation after generation, that gets so distant and far from us that when you tell people now you talk to God, they want to put you on medicine. When talking to God is what you were designed for, what we were designed for. When you tell people that you want to sit in His presence, they think you're crazy. That's a waste of time. But yet it's the way we were designed to live. And we've gotten so far from that that even people like Eric Gilmore who are coming are being persecuted by other Christians saying that this isn't the real deal, that this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. But sitting at His feet is, you know, what did Jesus tell Mary? That's what Mary chose the thing, and it would never be taken away from her. This is the core of our Christianity. You know, we were at our women's group, Nancy Jacobs shared, which I thought was a really good, is that Song of Solomon really is the foundational book of the Bible. But nobody teaches it. And some people even say, oh, no, that was just about King Solomon. It doesn't apply to us today. You know, this isn't a history book. You know, this isn't a history book. This is a book, and this, you know, do we need to know this word? We need to know this word inside out, up, down, forwards, backwards. We need to know it because otherwise we can be deceived. But we need to remember that this book is to point us to a person. And that's the whole purpose of the book, is to bring us to a place where we know a person. His name is Jesus. If you think of in the Old Testament, you know, when Moses, when the mountain, God's presence came down on the mountain, and it was the whole thing, and the Israelites were like, no, Moses, you go talk to Him. And so in the Old Testament, there were people that God talked to. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They didn't host the Holy Spirit like we do. We don't have Him living inside of us. They didn't have Him living inside of them. But people were going to the man of God or the woman of God to get a word from God. And that's the way they lived. But yet, they looked forward to a time, the saints looked forward to a time when there would be a people who would have God living inside of them, who would have that understanding, right? God, if you think about God, so wanted to be with man that in Israel, like He led Israel across the desert with the cloud and the pillar, right? And He led them across the desert. He put Himself in a box, the Ark of the Covenant, right? Did people ask for Him to do that? No. He so wanted to be with man that He put Himself in the Ark of the Covenant because He wanted to be with His people. That was His passion, was to be with His people. And then Jesus comes in the form of a man and walks the earth, goes to the cross and dies. And what is the first thing He does? He rips the veil. Why? Because He wanted to be with man. He finally can come outside of being in the Holy of Holies and be with man, which was His whole desire, was to be with us. I mean, isn't that incredible? And yet we can't find 20 minutes to go spend time being still in his presence. He's the one who set this up. He hungers to be with us. He thirsts to give us rivers of living water that we can drink from. This was his idea. And so we have the privilege of taking time out of our busy day to be still and come to know and intimately experience the one who created everything. What a blessing. You know, Eric says in his book that if you had, if someone said to you, listen, I'll give you $2 million if you spend an hour with God every day for the next year, people would so value the $2 million that they would do it. Can we value Jesus? Is he worth more than $2 million for us to be able to just sit in his presence for an hour a day? To just put that time aside? Because it's not an obligation, it's a privilege, because this is what the saints look forward to, because we can do that. We can know him now. Everybody else is waiting for heaven. We can know him now. What a privilege, what a blessing. Oh, Lord, just thank you so much. Oh, Lord, let us not take for granted all that you've done for us. Jesus, 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 we can be in your presence. We can know you. We can experience you. We can love you. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's all about coming to him. It's all about coming to him, because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He wants to do life with us. He wants to walk with us along the pathway. He wants us to know him so deeply and so intimately, and for us to know him the same way. You know, we had a devotional that we gave out at the women's retreat that was called In Him, is it? In His Presence? Or I can't remember the name of it right now. But it's Abide. And so it's by Andrew Murray. And he talks in there about the vine and the branches, and how, you know, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, but the vine holds on to the branches. Right? It's not the branch's job to cling to the vine. The vine holds on to the branches. And if you think about it, the vine goes deep into the ground, you know, and it's the one who goes through the dirt, goes through rocks to try to get nutrition wherever it has to go, right, and to find water. And it does all this work to bring all this stuff together. And then it does whatever it does with it, and then it sends it out to the branches. And the branches just rest. I mean, I know that there's sunlight and photosynthesis that goes on, but the branches are just resting. It's kind of like our bodies. Like, everything that goes on, like, between here and here, like, somehow our body takes oxygen and food and does something with it and puts it in the blood and deposited it so that this fingernail gets exactly what it needs. But, you know, this fingernail knows nothing about the digestive tract and the lungs and everything. It just hangs there, right? Well, we're like a bunch of fingernails. You know? Like, he did all the work. He did all the work. The righteousness he imparts to us, the presence he imparts to us, is the presence that came here and was victorious over sin and all of that and sickness and disease. It was that presence that he gave to us. It was the one that had already won the victory. Like, that's the presence we have. Is the presence that won the victory over everything. And then he gives it to us. So it's already been perfected. Not that it wasn't perfected to start with, but it's been perfected. It's gone through the test. And it made it. And that's what he gave to us. He did all the work. We just need to rest in it. We just need to become familiar with it. We need to know, what does being still look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? Like, can we, like, even with our church, when we just sit in that silence, we so need to know how to just be quiet. Turn everything off. What are we afraid of? That we have to have noise going all the time. We need to be still. Because if we don't be still, we don't really fully experience Him. You know, people will say to me, oh, well, I spend my time with God in the car when I'm driving. Well, you know, all I know is if I spend time, when I spend time with Him, you would not want me driving. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's about stopping everything. You know, our church, this is why our church's byline, whatever you want to call it, is encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. Because all fruitfulness comes from intimacy. All real fruitfulness comes from intimacy. And so if we don't have the encounter, and it shouldn't be the encounter that happened 10 years ago, it's the encounter that you had this morning or last night. The encounter, you come to know Him. What does that mean? To intimately experience Him. And from that place, living becomes a byproduct of that. I feel so many times, you know, it said, be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted in all the world. I think the reason, why aren't you being exalted? I think it's because we're not being still. You know, that if we were being stiller, if we were knowing God deeper and more intimately, I think that people would see He would be more exalted in the earth because we would have a real revelation, not a lot of head knowledge about Him that we can explain the Bible and we can tell people what, you know, what the redemption is and all that. But is it real to us? Is it real to us? You know, Paul spent 3 years in the wilderness with Jesus, and Jesus revealed things to you. So when he says that we're seated with him in heavenly places, that's not a doctrine or theology to him. He experienced that. He knew that. That was more real to him than what he was going through on earth. That's why he could be in the Philippian jail and praise and worship God. He wasn't praising and worshiping God to get out of the jail. He was praising and worshiping God because God was so real to him that the circumstances of the jail didn't matter. It didn't matter. And we can live from that same place where we just so know His presence that we've done our duty, we've sat still, we've come to know Him intimately and personally. And so when we read the Bible, it's not just, I can explain this, I can take a test on it, I can answer the questions rightly. It's like, God, I don't want to just know the answers to the questions, I want to be the answer to the question. But that only comes from sitting at His feet, from staying still and coming to know Him and allow Him to reveal Himself to us in deeper and deeper ways. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 4, because this is, as I was reading this, I was thinking about entering His rest, and Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this. In Hebrews chapter 4, it's talking about entering God's rest and the fact that the Hebrews weren't able to do it, right? The Israelites were coming across the wilderness and they didn't enter His rest. And so he's saying there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, meaning us, that there are people looking forward to a time when we would be able to sit quiet, to know God and enter His rest. Just be at peace, trust Him, know His character so that we're not striving and all those other things. And I thought this was funny. In verse 11, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And when I was thinking about this in terms of being still and knowing that He was God and sitting in the secret place, because this is kind of like an odd scripture, you know, it's one of those where you're kind of like, I'm not saying God. But I was thinking about this in context, and I just thought, oh my gosh, this is what He's talking about. Like, Jesus is the Word of God. And when we finally sit and be still, it's like He goes in there with, like, the expert knives. Be still and know that I'm God. And all of a sudden, this, it's living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And when you sit and be still, he can go in there. It's just like, just hold still. Shoom, 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 chop, 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 chop. Okay, now you can go. And all the stuff we have struggled with for years to change about ourselves, he's like, all done. You want to be still for that surgery. You're moving around. He could cut off a wrong part. Be still. Be still. Sit in his presence. Let the word of God do that. If there's any creatures hanging around that you don't see, he's going to cut them off. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is sometimes we're working so hard to perfect ourselves. And he's just saying, be still. Know that I am God. Come to an intimate relationship with me. You know, and I will take care of this. All these things that you're worrying about and struggling with and trying to fix about yourself. And all these things that you have in your life and trying to figure out what to do. Just be still and know that I am God. And I will take care of it. So really, I mean, how awesome is that? That he, like, how many people tell you, you know, I just want you to sit and be slothful. And I'll take care of the rest. Like, I'm going to go for that boss. And he just takes care of things when we just sit in his presence. We have to be mindful about this. This is a choice that we need to make. I don't have the scriptures here, but I'm just going to, because I just wanted to kind of go through them fast, is that, you know, James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. These are things we have to do. We have to do this. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. There is something we need to do. We need to pursue it. We need to make the choice to do this. We need to put the effort aside. We need to put the time. So it's lawful, but we have labor to enter his rest. That's the labor. That's the choice we need to make. You know, Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. When you sit in stillness and quiet and focus on Jesus, that to the enemy, that's violent. Because he's trying to get you to pull you in all these directions. And when you sit there and decide, no, I'm going to sit still and I'm going to focus on Jesus. You're going to focus on the scripture. I'm going to focus on his presence. I'm going to have worship music. Or I'm going to sit in quiet. Whatever it is you use to just focus on the Lord. To the enemy of God, that looks like an all-out assault. Wow. I like that battle. I can do that battle. Now, we need to understand that every single person who has gone through the process of sitting still before the Lord has had to deal with their mind. The mind comes in, the mind, you know, you sit down and it's all of a sudden you think of all the things you need to accomplish today and all that. But it's our choice. It's like I said the other day about I've gotten to the point where I'm trying to be very mindful of what I'm thinking. And it's like, okay, this is my mind. I get to choose what I think. And when I realize that there's this script going through my head that it's I don't want, it's like, wait a second. I'm the one who chooses what I think about. I'm not going to think about that. And it comes to the same place in our time, our quiet time with the Lord. And again, you just dismiss it. You don't get into a battle over it or feel condemned because your mind's going in a million directions. You just keep coming back to Jesus. Jesus. Like I said, focusing on the scripture. When I read the word, I read the Passion Translation, and I go through, I just do one chapter a day, but I just, before I read the chapter, I just really think about how he's my husband. Like, he's the one that knows me intimately. And before I read it, I just really make it very personal about me knowing him. And that when I'm reading it, I'm reading about the one, the lover of my soul, and what he did when he was on earth. So I try to make it very personal. So it's important to just even before you read the word or whatever, just take a moment to get your stance in the right place, your perspective on the right place. Just don't read it just to read the words, but what am I reading? What is my perspective? You know, praying before you read it. You know, and then after you read it, maybe just sitting there for a while, meditating on what you read, meditating on him, just thinking about all that. Like that's so important for us to do. We can do that. These are the ways that we can use. Let's see, a scripture I was going to talk about. Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let me go to that scripture. Because that mind is the imagination. It's the same word for conception, where things are conceived. So in that stillness, when we're quiet and we put our imagination on him, it's a place of conception, and he keeps us in perfect peace if we keep that stayed on him. If we all want like peace, right? But this is how the word tells us to get peace, is by having our mind, our imagination, all stayed on him. And from that place, fruitfulness comes. From that place, life comes. From that place, peace comes. You know, in Revelation chapter 2, let me just talk about this first. I really feel that, and why the Lord wanted me to talk about this, is that, you know, we've had other speakers here at the church, but most of them have been a byproduct of our relationship with Karis. You know, there's someone who came to Karis and taught, and so we're invited to have them, and so they come, and they've been awesome speakers. But Eric was someone we went and sought. You know, we pursued him. When we first, Brian is the one who told us about Eric. He was on the phone, because you got to check out this guy, Eric Gilmore. And the minute he said it to me, it was like all over me that we needed to listen. So I started listening to his teachings, and it was like, oh my gosh, I just love the truth of what this man is saying. And so Randy and I went to one of his, the School of His Presence. So the thing that we're doing here on Saturday, him and Randy and I went to Charlotte to see. We never would introduce somebody to the church unless we had checked them out. There's people that I have gone to check out for coming to our church that I've said, nope, they're not coming. So this is, but we wanted to come. So we went and saw him, and I didn't know if we could do a School of His Presence or not, if we could have enough people. But we at least got the book, The School of His Presence. Now that's a book that he gives out to people who attend the class. If you try to buy the book, you can get it on Kindle, but you can't buy the book. So I had to go personally to him to get books for us to do in our men and women's group. And so we went through that, and then when Pastor Jeremy saw it and Beth, they were like, yeah, this is really good. Let's pursue, you know, bring him here. So that's how we came about this. I feel like part of what we're doing in bringing him here, because there's been a lot involved, there's a lot of expense involved in bringing an outside speaker in like this, but I feel like it's a statement. This is a statement to the Lord, to the world, that this is the foundation of our church. This is the foundation. It is an intimate, experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is what we want every single person to live from, to be, to do. I just feel like we're saying this is it. This is the rock. This is because he is the rock, right? And it's this that's the rock for this church. And then we'll move from here as the Lord leads us, but it's like this is our foundation. This is our foundation. And it's not, you know, and I know you guys know this, like it's not the responsibility, to seek the Lord, absolutely, but it's every single one of our responsibilities. And just like he imparted incredible truths and mysteries and revelations and impartations to Paul, God's not a respecter of persons. Do you understand that when we choose to not spend time with the Lord, to not be still and know that he is God, that we are limiting what he can do in our lives? We say we want truth, but this is how truth becomes real to us. And what impart are we not allowing to come if we don't spend this time with him? And again, it's not, it's for every single person here can have that. Like it's not, I mean, it's not one person, it's not the pastor, it's every believer. Everybody. So what does God have for each one of us that by not spending time, we're limiting our access to it. We're limiting him. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus appears to John and he's talking to the church. He talks to John about the seven churches and his issues with the seven churches. And he talks to the church at Ephesus. He talks to John about the church of Ephesus and says, listen, tell the church of Ephesus, they are awesome. They're doing a great work for me. They're laboring hard. I see all that they do. They recognize the apostles that are false, and they've called them out because they're liars. They don't like the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which is saying clergy's up here and people are down here. And so he's like saying the church at Ephesus is an awesome, awesome church doing a great work for God. Awesome. Except they left their first love. And you know what he says? If you don't repent and return to your first love, I will remove the lampstand. That means that God would rather see this church's doors closed than to have us do a good work for him without intimate knowledge of him. Wow. And there's plenty of churches out there that Jesus has left the building. You know? I mean, you can continue a church. You can have a song service and have people come in and give a, you know, message and pat everybody on the back, but it's Ichabod. The Holy Ghost isn't there anymore. But Jesus would rather than just do a good work, they're saving souls. They're bringing people into the kingdom. They're doing the work of the ministry. You know, it's just like Jesus said, you know, when people come before him saying, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? And Jesus is like, depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. Like, it's positive. Jesus is like, I would rather see the church totally close and the doors close than see you do a work for me without knowing me intimately. That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes about what he has for us. And it's not a heavy thing. It's a privilege that we get to go and be with him. This is fun. Like someone saying, hey, listen, I want to hang out with you. I want you to spend some time with me. I want to love on you. I want to reveal scripture to you. I want to take you into deep experiences of me. I want to do all these things. Take you up to the third heaven. That's what he did with Paul. So it's a privilege. It's not a heavy thing. It's like, I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to be with God. I get to be with Jesus. I get to be with the Holy Spirit. But it's for every one of us. And I just feel the Lord is saying, listen, you know, you've gone to all this great effort and expense and all to bring Eric in. What do we want from that weekend? What do we all want? Because if you ask, he'll answer. What do we all want? And, you know, we're all at different places. Some people, I feel that because most of us have gone through that book, The School of His Presence, in the men's and women's groups, and some haven't, that's fine. But I feel like it puts us in a position to be able to receive more or whatever because we've already tilled the ground. You know, the ground's already been tilled. It's not like he's coming in and you've never heard of him and, you know, like, what is this guy about? Like, you know, okay, some of you have watched him on YouTube, some have read the book. So it's like the ground has been tilled so that God can do greater things when he's here than he would have been able to. But what do we all want? What do we want? And I just think he's asking us, like, do we as a church, can we commit to, Lord, this is what we want. We want to know you. More than anything else, we want to know you, to have that intimate experiential knowledge of you and be committed to that. And I believe if we all, you know, this, you know, together we do this and then through this week, just really have your hearts and minds preparing for Saturday and Sunday, really focusing on that, praying. Pressing in, Lord, this is what we want. We want to go deeper. We want to know you more. We want to be able to enter into that place with greater ease, right? Because some of us, it's an effort. Like, maybe we can have greater ease. Whatever that is, just really this week, just be really meditating and preparing. Because I believe if we prepare, he can, it frees him to do much more for in this environment, Eric, as he just comes submitted to the Lord and just delivers, that it's going to be, it can be much more powerful. Just be prepared. He's going to be saying a lot of things that you be like, oh, I read that in the book. I read that in the book. The book is the school of his presence. So he's going to be saying a lot of the stuff that you already know, have heard, and read in this book. But the anointing is here to take us deeper into that. The presence. So don't get caught up in that. Well, I just read that in the book. Don't get caught up in that. Be still. Know that God is God. Let the Holy Spirit work. Be in his presence and let God do what he wants to do in this church when he's here this next weekend. So why doesn't everybody stand up? So Lord, we just thank you so much for just for your presence here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just, you know, during worship and just everything, just your presence is so palpable and we're just so grateful. And Lord, we just as a church, we just lift our hearts up to you and we just say, Lord, take us deeper. There's always deeper realms, deeper places. Lord, for those who are just starting out, thank you, Lord, that they can just go, they can start in the process. For those who have been in this for a while, to go deeper. But Lord, every one of us, just take us deeper into knowing you, into understanding you, into just an experiential revelation of who you are. Lord, we just make ourselves available and we're faithful with what you've given us so that you can teach us greater things, the mysteries you want to reveal. But Lord, first we need to show ourselves faithful and good stewards of what you give to us. So the first thing you've given us, Lord, to be stewards of is our time and our time with you. Teach us to be good stewards of that, Lord, so that we can take greater things. Lord, we just honor you. May you are the center of this church. You are the center of our lives. We just thank you for your presence, and may you be so glorified. Keep our mind stayed on you in this week as we go forward, and may you be absolutely glorified this week and just abundantly bless Eric, Lord, supernatural. Just bless him, bless him, bless him, and thank you for what you will bring and deliver to us, Lord. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open to receive, and may you get all the glory. Set us ablaze, Jesus. Set us ablaze. Set us on fire, Jesus. Just set us on fire. In Jesus' name, amen.